Hey guys, what's up? It is week 253. I got some reviews for you. Give you a little heads up. I might be a little scatterbrained this week. I've noticed, you know, taking the medicine for my liver has caused me to have these crazy mood swings. Like I'm all over the place, you know, mad, happy, depressed, whatever it is. All up and down. So my brain is, I've been really hard to focus on things, but I do got some reviews for you. Hopefully they're not too doo-doo brain is what I'll call it. That's my catchphrase there. So the first one up is Fear is the Key from 1972. This is released by Arrow Video. So, you know, it's pretty quality there. They've been putting out a lot of 70s movies that, you know, I've been like vaguely familiar with the covers and stuff like that, but never really watched them. Fear is the Key stars somebody named Barry Newman, I believe. And I've seen him before. He's just not a super familiar actor to me. I believe he's Australian, if I'm not 100% mistaken. John Vernon is also in this. That's also a huge name. And Sir Ben Kingsley in his first acting role until, I think, Gandhi. So that's pretty neat there. So Fear is the Key is kind of a weird 70s kind of thriller kind of movie. It's based on, there's a guy who writes all these books, and like Where Eagles Dare, he wrote that book, and it was made into a movie. So Alistair something, I can't think. He basically had tons of his novels adapted, and they're pretty big in the 70s. So Fear is the Key follows the story. Right in the beginning, we have this kind of guy going through, he seems like a drifter, strange, going through this kind of small backwoods town, and he gets, he wants to drink on Sunday. We all know that's a no-no. He gets in a fight with some police officers, gets sent to court, ends up killing a cop to escape, kidnaps this woman who ends up being the daughter of kind of a really like a big like oil kind of tycoon who does these oil rigs, who's in bed with John Vernon, who's a high like big criminal. There's also like a ex-cop who's kind of looking to get money. He starts getting involved, and then from that point on, like, we're pretty interested. There's an amazing car chase up to that point. Things kind of switch. Everything changes, and pretty soon we're not dealing with what we thought we were dealing with. There's all these kind of other characters and backgrounds, and everybody's not who they say they are. The lead guy is really good, really interesting, great 70s lead, especially in the beginning when you think he's that kind of gray area character, which I will talk about all the time in the 70s, right? The leads are always these gray kind of characters. They're not good, they're not bad, they're just like, yeah, they're people, they're very, very gray and very damaged and not perfect, but hey, they're interesting, so we watch. John Vernon is one of my all-time favorite actors. He pops up in The Outlaw Josie Will, Killer Clowns from Outer Space, Curtains, a million freaking movies. Sweet movie. He's in everything. He's excellent in this. He's got that stone face. You know, he's really good in this. Love him. Savage Streets, he's got one of the best lines. You're one bad bitch. He's an awesome actor. He's good in this, man. He's good. And Ben Kingsley is an assassin. Also really good. People Die, the ending's great. Really tragic. Got nice twists and turns. Really good movie. Fear is the Key. I would recommend checking this one out. As far as the special features are concerned, we have a commentary with film critic Howard S. Berger, A Different Kind of Spy Game, a new visual essay by film critic and author Scott Tofia, Fear is the Key of Bud, a new appreciation of composer Ron Budd and his score for Fear is the Key by film and music historian Neil Brand, Bayou Tabré, an archive featurette in which crew members look back on the making of the film, producing the action, an archive interview with associate producer Garvik Lousy, theatrical trailer, all that kind of good stuff. So check out Fear is the Key. It looks good. It sounds good. Great car chase. If you guys love that stuff from the 70s aficionados, I know that car chases were peak form in the 70s with Bullet and The Getaway and all sorts of great stuff, French Connection. So 70s, man, car chases are where it's at. It's dangerous, it's real, it's a lot of wreckage. Okay, the next one is also an Arrow Video. What we have here is The Shaolin Plot. This is a pretty crazy movie here. So we follow this guy. Essentially, we have this evil kind of emperor, the Manchus, who come in here and they want to rule everyone. They want to, this is a period piece, of course. It is a martial arts film, most of them are. And they want to take everyone's manuscripts of all their martial arts and things like that and take everything that everyone has learned. And, of course, basically, just have all the martial arts and everyone bow under them and learn everything. So, basically, we have, like, this emperor-type guy. And he's gone to every school and killed whoever denied him. A lot of people come forth and just give it up. There's a couple of plots where people don't. There's some really cool parts in here where there's, like, this dance thing. And there's a couple of assassins that get taken care of. Sammo Hung is in here as this absolutely ridiculous guy named, like, he has these, what do they call those? Where you clap them together like the monkey, the chattering monkey thing. And he throws them. Shambles? I can't think what there are for whatever off the top of my head. I cannot remember it. But he throws them and they cut people's heads off. So like people are reminded of like the Flying Guillotine too, where like they have these crazy weapons. It's like, of course, that was Chinese movies or Hong Kong movies at the time, right? The 60s and 70s deal. So essentially this guy kind of goes around And he comes across this one father and son. The son and father will not give it up. They do a ploy here to escape. He takes the manuals with him. He ends up running into this blind monk who is... he's not a blind yet. Sorry about that. Spoilers. But he's this monk who's a super badass. He can fight really well. And he ends up defending them. But through a series of things, he gets injured and eventually killed. This young man takes basically goes to the monastery and tells them all these things. And this big kind of monastery is the last people that have not given up their martial arts things. But there's a ploy to get it. And he's going to try to warn them and find all the bad guys and take them out. And there's this big fight scene at the end with all the monks facing off against the emperor stuff. Pretty typical, honestly, but good stuff, entertaining stuff, very standard for the time, but it does have some good martial arts in there. You got Sammo Hung in there, so it's well worth it too. So that is the Shaolin plot. As far as the special features are concerned, we have commentary by martial arts experts Frank Jin and Michael Wirth, commentary by action cinema experts Mike Leader and Artie Vimoda, alternative English credits, and we have all this stuff in there. Yep. So check it out, Shaolin Plot. This is not a Shaw Brothers, but damn, you know, it's probably Golden Harvest, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, the next one up is from Radiance Films, and what we have here is Black Knight Killers, and this director actually did the movie I'm familiar with, which is really sleazy to say, but it's like Assault Rape the 13th, which Nakatsu Erotic Films put out, and it's got to be one of the sleaziest damn movies I ever seen in my life. But this one here, Black Knight Killers, is from 1966. Not necessarily sleazy, but we have this, our lead here who meets this girl. They kind of hit it off. She immediately gets kidnapped and there's a murder. He gets blamed for this murder. He's trying to tell the police it's not him. There's a photographer, or like a journalist friend that helps him out. But what happens is he's trying to find his girlfriend who's been kidnapped, why she's been kidnapped amongst this group of people. Well, he keeps running into like this group of five badass leather clad women who are just like tightrope, like jumping down buildings and stuff. They're like cat burglars, but martial artists, ninjas, whooping everyone's ass, which is cool. And you're like thinking back, I'm like, man, all these like tight clad leather, like you think, you know, there was a lot of that in the 60s. And like, did Russ Meyer was doing that? And so were a lot of these Japanese like movies and stuff. So you see like where all this kind of this stuff comes from. But regardless, what happens is you learn that it's like a bunch of groups after all this like gold that this woman's father had hidden in World War II, and everybody's after it, right? And all these like ninjas befriend this guy, and they have like a weird relationship. Like they don't want him to get the girl because they want the gold first, but it gets complicated and people get picked off. Like right when one of the characters dies, you know what kind of movie you're in. You're like, it's going to be that kind of deal. The action is really great at the end, really big helicopter, lots of people getting shot, lots of cool goons that you recognize throughout the entire movie. It doesn't really slow down. Right when it starts, it's kind of nonstop pace. It looks good. It sounds good. It's a solid film for sure. It's very fun. We have a commentary by critic and author Jasper Sharp, archival interview with director Yoshiharu Hazabi. Trailer, newly translated English subtitles, reversible sleeve, original and newly commissioned artwork by The Tomorrow. So it looks great. It's AB locked. Excellent movie. Radiance Films putting out really cool stuff as they always do. Okay, the next one here is really wild. I was sitting there and I was like, you know what? I want to watch something I've never seen. A horror movie that's considered, yeah, has some clout, has some popularity. So I picked Ken Russell's The Lair of the White Worm. And I wish I would have watched this 20 years ago. This is 1988. Stars Hugh Grant, of course. You know, everybody knows that Ken Russell directed The Devils. He directed Altered States from 1980. Ken Russell's directed some weird fucking movies. Ken Russell's a strange director, a good director. Lair of the White Worm. I started watching this and I was like, I really love this. So it basically follows a story about an archaeologist, kind of like a college kid. He's digging. He's staying at this like kind of isolated like little lodge or whatever that's owned by this lord and Hugh Grant. So basically he's digging and he finds this bizarre skull that's got to be dated a certain time. Like, and he's like, this doesn't make any sense. It looks like a dinosaur, but it couldn't have been from a dinosaur pure time. So he starts talking about it. One of the people that's with him there is a girl, a pair of sisters that just recently lost both their parents in a weird tragic accident, disappearance. And she starts to hallucinate almost immediately. Has these weird nightmare visions, and the nightmare visions in this movie are insane. They like all VHS blue screen weird shit and like artsy and violent, and it's like, let's just say that, you know, Ken Russell's still pissed off about The Devils being censored because there's some Rape of Christ shit going on in there for sure with a snake. Awesome. So as it goes on, you realize that there's this woman who kind of hibernates around this time of year, but now it's spring, so she's back, and she's kind of this vampiric snake woman who's trying to resurrect this ancient snake god. Can't make this shit up. The movie is a comedic kind of touch to it too, so characters get bit and they turn into these vampire snakes. It's really cute. It's really fun. The special effects are awesome. Hugh Grant is excellent in it. He's never looked better, honestly. Hugh Grant, you can tell why people were just madly in love with Hugh Grant, especially this time. You're like, yeah, I see it. I can see it, you know, as Hugh fucking Grant. But so he's great in it. Everybody's good in it. There's kind of a weird stinger at the ending, and it has like this weird fun tone that a lot of movies don't have, and if they try it, they just fail. I don't know where to put it at, but it's very zany and quirky, like almost like Peter Greenaway, but not as like sophisticated, but also just more fun, if that makes any sense. But it's nothing like, the Devils. It is like the Devils, but it's nothing like Altered States, I would say. As far as the special features, we have audio commentary Ken Russell. Then we also have Lili Russell in conversation with film historian Matthew Malia. Featurette, Worm Food, The Effects of Lair of the White Worm. Interviews, Cutting for Ken with editor Peter Davies. Mary Mary with actor Sammy Davis. And basically, we know that Ken Russell was not the easiest guy to work with. Looks good, sounds good. The sound was really great. Anyways, also Amanda Donahue's in this. I love this movie. This is great. I would rewatch this. This would become kind of a new favorite, I think, Lair of the White Worm. I think I want to watch Gothic 2 soon. There's a couple Ken Russell I hadn't seen for some reason. There's always a couple blind spots. You're like, why the fuck haven't I seen that? And I was like, it's going to be so long till I get to 88 if I ever do. So I figured I'd watch Lair of the White Worm before I fucking die. Could be soon. All right, guys, we're going to hop into those 1981 movies.
Woe be unto him who opens one of the seven gateways to hell, because through that gateway, evil will invade the world.
That'll live on, and no one will know as the years come and go of the horror from long time ago. In this little town, when the 14th comes round, there's a silence and fear in the air. Remember the morn that the legend was born, all the shock and the horror was there. Or the legend they say on a Valentine's Day is a curse that'll live on, and no one will know as the years come and go of the horror from long time ago. And no one will know as the years come and go of the horror from long time ago.
Okay, the first one up here, it's not necessarily horror. It's not necessarily sci-fi, but it was listed at points, and it's a mystery thriller. I'm getting really digging the bottom of the horror movie barrel here. And this is Sphinx. So I was like, I'm into the Egyptian lore. I figured this might have a horror bend. Scream Factory put it out. I don't know why it's under the Scream label. It should be under the Shout label for sure. There's a couple scenes in here. So it does have the old ancient curses. The movie's damn near 2 hours long. It's got Frank Langella in it. Love Frank Langella. He's great. He's a stud in it. That's the highlight of the movie is Frank Langella. So we have this woman who comes here to basically study these certain things, the King Tut's tomb, and it's basically like a lost treasure, and it's been sealed, and there's been a curse on it. In the very beginning, we have these people that basically say no one's going to touch this treasure, and they draw and quarter somebody. It's really graphic, it's really kind of crazy and neat and everything like that, and as terms of like a horror kind of angle movie. So this woman comes in and she's meeting around and snooping and trying to learn more things, and she witnesses a murder. But she gets a piece of something like on red letter, so she's running from it while all these people are after her. John Rhys Davies is one of them, of course, from Indiana Jones and Sliders. So he's after her for stuff. And then, of course, we have Franklin Gell is interested, and they start to have this like romantic relationship. There's also all these people, and everybody wants to be involved with this because this treasure holds the key to basically this whole area's economy. That's essentially the thing. There's a lot of discovery. There's a lot of chasing. There's a lot of, I guess, reveals. Overall, it's okay. It's not great. It's a little bit of a drag at times. It looks good and sounds good, and Frank Langella is great, but I can't give it like a wholehearted recommend. It's all right. It's an all right movie. It's not amazing, and it's, I don't know if it's something you need to own on Blu-ray. There's no special features, which is a shame. We have a new 2K scan and a theatrical trailer, so thanks. Next up, we have a really bizarre one, and when we're talking cult films, we're talking directors, you gotta watch Jess Franco's movie, Sex is Crazy, and yeah, that's right, Jess Franco. Jess Franco's nuts, alright? He directed a movie this year called, he directed like a prison movie, but he also directed Bloody Moon, which is one of his best movies, I think most entertaining-wise and approachable, but Sex is Crazy, I don't even know how to go about this movie. This is a movie that I started watching, and I hear it's really bizarre, and like, you're reading the plot, and it's just like, I guess that's what's happening. Essentially, aliens come down, and they start like impregnating women, but then we fall mostly the story of two groups of people that get married. So we have two women, two men married. One of them is Robert Forrester, or what the hell is that guy's name? I always say he's not Robert Forrester, but I feel like Antonio Mayans, but he went by that name alternatively. Lena Romay is one of them. There's tons of nudity. There's tons of sex. There's lots of weird goofiness and zaniness and strangeness and good location photography. But for the most part, I'm just like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know if I can dig this. I don't know where this goes or what the fuck this is. A lot of people that are really big Jess Franco aficionados dig it, like it a lot. I think it's interesting enough, I guess, but weird enough. I love a lot of Franco movies. I think this one's too crazy and weird, or it just was too distracted this week to fully grasp Sex is Crazy. But to be honest, this is a fucking weird movie with lots of bizarre visuals, lots of nudity, lots of dong, if that's what people are into in these kind of movies. As far as the special features, we have Justice Crazy, interview with Jess Franco expert Dr. Alex Mendelbill, Franco Goddard, interview with Stephen Thrower, author of Flower of Perversion, The Delirious Cinema of Jess Franco, In the Land of Franco, Part 7. So if you're interested in this, check this one out. Not a horror movie, but definitely maybe sci-fi, erotica, cult movie, no doubt fantasy. Sex is Crazy, and damn, they always make the jokes that Franco is crazy, and I think he was. Okay, here we have the Patreon. Somebody said pick a Vinegar Syndrome title that you haven't covered yet, so I decided to pick Red Rock West, one from one of their new sub-labels. This is, neo-noir, and it stars Nicolas Cage. It stars, of course, Dennis Hopper and J.T. Walsh, and I'm missing somebody. Oh, Laura Flynn Boyle. Like, when I saw her, I was like, where's she? You always gotta have, like, kind of a femme fatale in the movie, and Laura Flynn Boyle is a perfect one, right? So, Nicolas Cage is kind of, I guess he would be a loser, and he's traveling through this town, and he's broke. He shows up, he's got a bomb leg, and he shows up to work at this oil rig or something like that. His buddy said, I can get you a job. I'll get you a job. You're going to be all right. So he starts to apply. They tell him essentially that we're not hiring you because you got the bomb leg. So he has like $5 in his pocket. He stops at a bar to get a drink with change or something like that. And he walks in here. It's early in the morning, and J.T. Walsh is the bartender. Excellent actor. You guys recognize him from Sling Blade and Breakdown. Just a good actor. Needful Things. Died way too young. Intense actor. Just always great. Always great. I can't say enough good things about J.T. Walsh. I just wish he lived longer. That's the best thing you could say about somebody, right? So essentially, J.T. Walsh says, you the guy? And he's like, what? And he just plays along, realizes that he was hired for $5,000 to assassinate this, $10,000 to assassinate his wife and Laura Flynn Boyle. He goes there and tells him that this Laura Flynn Boyle tries to give him $10,000 to kill them. So he's just like, fuck. He takes the money. He tries to leave. His car breaks down. He gets stuck in this fucking town. He gets blamed for a somebody getting shot here, because when we realize that he double crossed the wrong people and these people are in more power than he thinks. And it gets really weird and crazy when Dennis Hopper shows up and he's the real assassin. He's absolutely hilarious. He's unhinged. Dennis Hopper is always fucking unhinged. His interactions with Nicolas Cage are great. So basically, JT Wall, everybody's so good in this movie and perfectly cast. I love Nicolas Cage, and it took a long time too. I used to love him then. He was doing that phase where he was just doing all these really crummy direct-to-video movies, and I was just like, I don't know what's happening here. I didn't watch him, but I was just like, I watched a couple and I was like, I don't know what he's doing, you know what I mean? But over time, I've kind of realized and grown up, and I just been like, dude, he's doing his thing. He's making money. He's making movies. So why am I worried about what he's doing? And then every once in a while, he'll put out a banger. Like, he'll be like, hey, here's Mandy. Here's this one. Here's that one. Here's the one, the Unbearable Weight of Talent. I'm like, oh, dude, Nicolas Cage is the shit when he got the right material. He does his best. It's just that sometimes the material is not the best. But Red Rock West is good material. He's good in it. Dennis Hopper's fucking hilarious, just screaming on Hinge. Like, what are you doing, man? Like, I don't know what the fuck he's doing in this. And JT Walsh seems like more realistic angry, but Dennis Hopper is the only guy that I could see pull off the over-the-top nonsense but somehow come across realistic. I don't know how he does it, and that's why he's one of my favorite actors. Like in River's Edge, I'm like, dude, he's acting so weird, but for some reason I know this guy's real. This guy is fucking real. So anyways, Red Rock West. We have some special features here. New interview with director and co-writer John Dahl. Great director. New interview with co-writer John Dahl. So that's director and co-writer. That's on there twice, apparently. Double the fun. New commentary track with historian Alan Silver and filmmaker Christopher Coppola. Desperate Times Call for Desperate Measures. New video essay by Chris O'Neill. Archival interview with director, editor Scott Chestnut. Caged In. Archival video essay by Petros Pasavalas. New text essays by writers Jordan Sears, Keith Pheeps, and Justin Liberty. This movie's really fun too, on the sole fact that like it's so funny that Cage keeps getting drugged deeper and further in, and it's not even his fault. So I really like this. Red Rock West, recommend it. That's such a tongue twister. Red Rock West. If anybody can send me a video saying that five times fast, I will give you something. I don't know, maybe nothing. Who cares? All right, let's get into these questions, comments, concerns, all that jazz. Ken Coakley, I recently revisited Southern Comfort. I haven't watched it in 40 years. Even then, I noticed the all-star cast. Noticed Peter Coyote from E.T., Keith Garradine from Nashville, T.K. Carter from The Thing. I knew of Powers Booth from a TV movie in which he played cult leader Jim Jones. Brian James had been in 48 Hours in Blade Runner. Ry Cooter did a song for the 1970 film Performance. I have to cut this short because I have COVID and I'm sweating like a pig. I am very sorry about that. Get better. I had it in November. It sucks. Norwayson, you do an excellent job reviewing films fast, informative, and detailed. Keep up the good work. Thank you very much. Movie Junkie Reviews 84, Southern Comfort was good. Found it on Tubi last year. What a gem. It's excellent. Tyler 66, great show. I'm late to the party. Just started watching last year. Hope you stay at it, as I love your reviews. Appreciate it. Much love. Explosive Action, another quality update. This one was a perfect length for leaving my house to walking to the office. What do you expect to get into 1982 movies? The New York Ripper waits. It sure does. Close. Soon. A couple months. I have a bunch of those like videos like ready to be edited. Some do really well. Some don't. You know, I understand. Maybe nobody wants to watch a video on American Werewolf in London for the 100th time. But we talk about other things in them. But we have a couple more that I need to edit and three more that I need to shoot. And I think that I'll do a couple more 81 movies in general. Probably hit a little over 200. And then we'll be good to go to the 82. So I'm going to take a break, though, although I do have a video lined up for 82 already to be recorded. The Nick from Mua from Belgium. Holy podcast Trinity. Mr. Parka, that was some reappreciation of Halloween 2. I almost forgot how much I liked that one, especially as it was the first Halloween movie I ever saw at age 15. He's talking about the video with Nathaniel Thompson and, of course, Bruce Olczyk. It really, really holds up, doesn't it? As you acquired the new Emmanuel box set, I thought you might be interested to know that they're making a new one featuring Naomi Watts and the guy who plays Venka on Stranger Things. Strange. Questions. How easy or difficult it is to land horror authorities like Troy Haworth, Nathaniel Thompson, or Bruce Olczyk for the show? Honestly, I think that I knew Art as a friend of mine from Wasteland, and Troy just seems so genuinely friendly, I reached out to him. And I don't remember if I reached out to Bruce Holchak or if Art was like, hey, ask Bruce Holchak if he'll do a show. And then I think that Bruce Holchak was like, I'm going to ask Nathaniel to do the Halloween 2 show with us. And I was like, that sounds great. So basically, you just kind of know one person or two people, and then it branches out. Or you just ask. And if they like you enough, or they want to talk about something enough, they'll usually come on. If they're, you know, sometimes people are busy, sometimes they don't want to do that stuff. I understand. But they've all been great and very, very nice. Who would be your dream panel to discuss Dawn of the Dead, and would you participate, as you obviously know so much about it? I'm no expert on it, but I mean, I would love Romero to be back. But if we're talking that, I would love to hear some Troy Howarth's words on it, because I think he's appreciated of it and probably knows a bit about it. Art knows a lot. Let me think. Who else would be really great? I mean, I don't know if Art loves it, but I know Troy does. Geez, who would be my favorite people to get on there for that? I don't know. I really would like to hear more Romero talk about it and get questions by people like that. I know Troy's a fan. I would like to see Troy on there, Bruce Holchak. But yeah, that's a starter. I really didn't get a chance to think about it. Hope you're well, sir, and that those slacker kids aren't back on your lawn this year. They don't lawn on my lawn. My lawn's got nothing but pain. Fetish Magic, 3240. He laughs. He says, Roman Polanski is not really an actor, but reminds me of Little Harvey Keitel. Well, yes. Okay. Way up, dude. He gives me a heart-shaped stuff. Thank you. Fetish Magic, 3515. That's the story I told about the Jehovah's Witness. This is mind your business, all right? Hudson, 3838. There's not many movies that leave a tear in my eye. Saving Private Ryan was one of them. Murphy's Law was the other. At the end, I thought, not like that. I thought, yeah, he's going to pop up any minute, and I'm still waiting. Love the character. It's not often I recommend a movie, but you have seen... Have you seen Significant Other with my Mika Moreau, who was in It Follows, the guest and the watcher? This girl is on fire. She's great. Significant Other is so good. If you do like it, just remember I was the one. If you hate it, I wasn't the one. Have a good day. P.S. Everybody needs a love cam. That's right. This is the end. So I guess I'll just hop into the update. It's only one movie. I did get Sphinx, but I showed that. And this one here is Funeral Home from Scream Factory, 1980, William Fruit. Decent kind of horror movie. Would rewatch it on Blu-ray because the damn thing's always been cloudy and looks like shit. So now we finally have this thing on Blu-ray. Maybe I'll be able to see what the hell's going on. Very cool. It's always been on the checklist for an upgrade. Never had a good DVD either. And I probably had a VHS back here somewhere. But anyways, Funeral Home. That is the update. I appreciate you guys watching. But yeah, we're not hopping in this shit. All right, guys. Thank you very much for watching. And as always, have a good one.